Thank you for listening to Thank You for Joking, a show about the process of being a comedy writer. Sometimes it's stand-up comics going through that process together, trying out jokes, giving each other notes, and sometimes I'm going to have TV writers on here talking about their process. So please subscribe. There'll be new episodes every week. Thanks. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Comedy Workshop. I'm your host, Rob O'Reilly. Today I have two comics with me, Ryan Dalton, who I knew from back in Cleveland, but he's now in L.A. Very funny guy. We both did Live at Gotham the same year. And then we have Jimmy Moynihan, who's another very funny comic living in Florida, who I first met when he booked me as the student liaison at Oneonta College back in, what?
I think 2009.
Something so like welcome, that. You guys.
Thank you. Good to be here.
I'm a big get, so this is good for you.
It's huge, yeah. So yeah. Am I.
This is an unknown
from Florida.
I got to thank you. I got to thank your team for really reaching out to my team over a period of 6 months, making this happen. Appreciate it.
Ryan, last time I saw you was at Hilarities in December, I think, and you were working on a TV set, like a Take 5 or something that I thought was really good. You had a bit about flying. It was really funny. What's happening with that?
A lot of no's. They're like, my favorite one was the no from a late night show that said, like, you know, it's airplane humor and it's kind of been done and can be seen as bad comedy. But then, like, I posted that exact bit and got a ton of attention from people who loved that bit and thought it was super funny. Like, and I was just like, it just reaffirmed that I knew it was good, but then I was really angry when this person said that, like, it was just bad comedy. I'm like, well, then I guess these people just don't like, you know, these people must not like real comedy, I guess is what you're saying, you know?
Yeah. I did a Big Sky Comedy Festival a few years ago, and I made it to the finals, and then I guess one of the judges had written down their notes about each comic, and another comic found it and, like, brought it to me and was like, hey, I found what they wrote about all of us. Like, do you want to read it? And I was like, and
yeah.
I like, okay, yeah. And I wish the guy had said yes.
No, you don't want to know.
It was like scathing. It was like, well, it wasn't scathing, but he basically just said that I was like a middling act, like a feature act. And I was like, ugh. I guess that's, I don't know. It was painful to read what he wrote. The funny thing about it was that I was trying to do all new material because the judges already see me in the first show that got me into the finals. I did all my best material, right? And then I did my level two, you know, my B level material in the finals because I wanted to do all new material.
I made that mistake that was before. Material
they were like, well, I wasn't, and I was the only comic who did new material. And then, of course, I didn't win the competition.
So the move is to do
just keep doing your best.
Do your best, yeah.
Just do your best, yeah. That's
and you did my, your second best.
Because I thought it'd be smart to just do new material because then I felt well, the judges will laugh harder because they've never seen it, but that's not really how it works. Because they all judges really all here's the thing about comedy competitions that you should know is that judges care almost exclusively about whether the audience laughs or not, and like this idea that like judges are so smart that they can tell like whether it's good material and they're not influenced by the crowds. It's like not true. It's like just it's whoever gets the biggest set that's who wins.
Whoever brings the most people.
Yeah,
that's every comedy competition.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
All right. So on the Comedy Workshop, we're going to have comics try out new material and
maybe new podcast titles too. That'd be another podcast.
Yeah, we can workshop that.
Okay, I'll workshop. I'll come up with a better title. By the time this airs, you may need notice that it has a different title from whatever you clicked on. We're going to give each other feedback just like comics really do in real life when they give each other tags. A tag is an addition to a joke. That things of that nature. So, Ryan, why don't you go ahead and tell some jokes, and after each joke, we'll give you some feedback.
Oh, this is gonna suck. I'm going to start with post-COVID jokes. Here we go. I've been having a lot of sex during this quarantine. A lot. Unfortunately. Have you ever had so much sex with somebody that you start becoming suspicious of them? Like, what? I'm not that attractive. Like, I'm not a god. I'm proficient. I mean, I know what to do. I know my strengths and weaknesses at this point. But I'm no porn star. What? Why are you doing this? Now then you take that, you add the quarantine, and then you multiply by the amount of years I've been married, 10, and now I'm just suspicious of this person. Like, have you found a way to kill me over time with your vagina? Like, is there antifreeze saved in there that you don't get affected by, but I will be poisoned by? Is this your way of getting rid of me? Are you trying to distract me from something nefarious that you're doing? Like, where was this sex weeks, months, years ago, and now all of a sudden it just showed up and we're not trying to make a person? Yeah, I definitely sleep with one eye open now. All right, that's that joke.
I was thinking when you first started saying, like, because you didn't say with my wife, you were like, I've been having a lot of sex.
Yeah.
But if you were like, my wife hasn't had any sex. I've been having a lot of sex.
Yeah.
Also, I think it's funny that you're such a curmudgeon that even when the premise is that you've been getting laid all the time, you find a way to complain about it.
Basically. Yeah.
You're like, oh, I'm suspicious of this.
Well, I mean, there's a price you pay for everything, you know? And I was just like, why am I getting all of this? Like, what did I do? What kind, are you like, is the end near? Or like, are we going to die? Do you sense doom? Is that why you're doing all this now?
Isn't your wife a nerd?
I like,
yes. That's so why maybe, I was definitely like, why
trying
do
to
you...
give you corona via vagina? Or...
Yeah. Or I don't know. Or she's just like some sort of early warning system for vagina.
I like the thought of you being suspicious why she wants to be with you. So it's like,
well, after that amount of time, like, it's a decade. I mean, the tired premise is the longer you're married, your sex life goes out the window. But when there's a fucking spike in it, that's like you feel like you were when you were dating all of a sudden. You're like, what is going on with you? What's going on?
Yeah, like there's something wrong.
I mean, my excuse is I'm a dude and I will put it in you if you just say yes or nod your head. Your excuse,
that's, I mean, it.
You need incentives. I did ask. You know what? I did ask. You know, it's that thing, Rob, when you said, like, I wish I wouldn't have known what they were what they were writing about.
Yeah.
I finally asked, like, what's gotten into you? Like, and she was like, well, it's just that, you know, everybody is doing so bad right now. You're just kind of like the best of the worst of what's going on right now. I'm like, I wish I wouldn't have asked. I think
that's kind of sweet.
Yeah, but you're, it's like, also her rounding dramatically down.
So it's like she only thinks having sex with you is like okay, but like feeling okay is better than feeling shitty about watching the news. I think a way to get
you're like her service animal.
Yeah.
I think a way to get into it, like, a could be basically something like, even when, like, basically no matter what, I complain, right? Like, if I'm not having sex, I'm like, oh, I'm not having sex. And then sometimes we're having a lot of sex, and I'm like, why is she having some sex with me?
Who does she think I am? I can't do this anymore. I'm in my 40s. I'm not in my 20s when I can, like, do that maneuver of like, I'm going to drink all day and then I'll still be a rock star at night. Now I need fluids, preparation. I need a stretch. There's a lot of things to go in. I can't have a full meal. Forget that.
Need an hour meditation.
Yeah. Here's another one. I've been getting unemployment because there's no work, And I got to tell you, I didn't think I even qualified as for any sort of unemployment. And then they throw this pandemic bonus on top of it. It's like $600. And I know I should be responsible, but after watching The Last Dance, I kind of want to get some Jordan 5s.
What job did you have? You're getting out
of- Well, I don't know. I worked on some TV shows. Like I'm getting like $200 a week, and I worked on some TV shows, and I got some like residuals and things, but I can't figure out. Cause I mean, shit. I was like, when I apply for unemployment, the state is going to go, no, you're homeless. You don't get any unemployment. You never had a job in our eyes. And then I somehow qualified for that. And then on top of it, the federal government throws in $600 of this pandemic a week. So it's like $800 not to do shit a week.
Wait, could I get unemployment? That's all I care about now. Wait, like, could you say like at your?
Yeah, I can see how you're see how this went from joke writing to how I can improve your life.
No, I'm genuinely
this
like,
is what the fucking podcast is. Do your jokes, but I'm gonna be like, shouldn't I be a human being right now?
The joke's not funny, but more importantly, there's a very interesting.
Welcome to Helping Rob with Rob O'Reilly.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I don't know that anyone cares about you getting Jordans, but
no.
This unemployment. Oh my God. But I do think the audience would be like, wait, why are you getting unemployment? I think they have the same thoughts I do.
Well, because I'm white and we deserve it.
There you go.
We've been through a lot.
I'm very scared. I went from being disgusting, like a guy, just disgusting, like maybe I'll wash my hands this week, to now I'm scared of the breeze because there might be water droplets on it, you know? And it's because I watch the news too much. But then I see the other half, and I see people who are like, let's just go back to work right now and turn everything back on. And I think the reason they feel that way is because what's going on is it's invisible. So I was like, I think it'd be easier if like everything was on fire, if this was like a huge fire, and then the government was like, look, here's the deal. You're the firewood, and the only way, our only defense in spreading this fire is you got to stay indoors. And then we do that. But then we know if a fire's happening. And so people are like, you know what? Why don't we throw ourselves in that fire and see what happens? I should write these out, huh? All right, here's my last COVID one. Here we go. I social distance big time. Like I'm the guy. Do you guys exercise outside or anything? Do you like walk or run?
Yeah.
I run now, and I never knew I could run outside. I've been running like 7 miles, and I've never run 7 miles outdoors in my life. And it's nice to know that anxiety and fear is what motivates me, not Red Bull. And I always give people wide berths, so wide that I've noticed people give me a look and they're offended by the amount of berth I give them. Like I'll give not 6 feet, I'll go 12 feet. I'll go into the middle of the street sometimes. And one time I did it, I went way in the middle of the street, and this guy's like, dude, I don't have COVID. And I was like, sir, I didn't think you were sick. It's that you're black. And he's wearing a mask, which is white nightmare. What do you think? Topical?
Very topical.
And then I killed him. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Just want to see if this is working.
Then I leaned on his back.
I like to run in front of a guy who I do think is sick just to motivate me to run further.
I like anxiety and fear motivating you. And I don't know, I was thinking like you could use that, like a couple other, I don't know, a couple other examples where you're motivated by fear.
The only time I was ever motivated to run a long distance is I was on a treadmill at a gym one time and I hated running and it sucked so much. And then an unbelievably attractive girl got on the treadmill in front of me and I'd never run over 2 miles on a treadmill before. And before I knew it, I'd run 4.5 miles. And I was like, that is motivation. And I can never thank her for that.
Yeah.
But that's the only other motivation I had. All right. That's enough of that.
This isn't really it's just a story of true stories. So I was running and this guy, I couldn't go get away from him because we were on like a side. Actually, no, I was on a bike and the guy was running the other direction and we were on a little sidewalk and there's a street right next to us. And he had room to go into the grass, but I'm not going to go in the grass because I'm on a bike. So I'm like just trying to go past him. I'm kind of trying to squeeze past him. And he reached out and slapped me like on my like.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
And it's like, and I was like, what the fuck? I had headphones on. And I turned around. I went back. I go, what was that? And he goes, 6 feet, 6 feet. So it's like his way of, enforcing social distancing was to touch me.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Did you point out the irony of what he did, or?
I mean, I posted about it that night and pointed out the irony, but at the time I was very pissed off.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, people are crazy, honestly. Though, I mean, but now it's gone full circle where I felt like about 3 weeks, this happened like 3 weeks ago. And I feel like at that time, people in Vegas were like crazy about, you know, on that end of the spectrum. And now I feel like people have gone crazy on the other end. We're like now, like I went to play volleyball yesterday and people are like high-fiving and stuff. Like they're like, we're not in a pandemic. I'm like, you know, we should be
completely over it.
Touching, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I've been walking around. I see there's just people with less masks on. And I think it's because they've been loosening restrictions, even in Los Angeles. I was like, "What? Where did all these masks go? Like everybody was in masks a second ago. Where'd they all go?"
Yeah.
Yeah. In Florida, it's the minority is people that wear masks. So, yeah, I'm not eating inside or anything like that, but everyone else is. Like, there is no fear left in Florida. They're good to go. They're
like states like Nevada and Florida are full of a lot of very conservative people, and for some weird reason this has become like a political thing where like the right-wing media basically is telling people there's nothing to worry about and then the left-wing media is being the opposite, so it's very weird.
We're presenting facts and science.
Ryan, do you have anything else?
Like fucking snowflakes.
No, that's it.
All right, Jimmy, you're up. You got anything?
I got some stuff. I'm kind of I'm trying to stay level-headed during COVID, which is hard. Because I still get nervous. I was at the grocery store. There was this like 5-year-old kid that didn't have a mask on, and he goes into a sneezing fit, and just instinctually, without thinking about it, I punch him in his face. And then I was like, oh my God, I need hand sanitizer. So that's that one.
It could be, that's funny. I think it'd be even funnier if you acted it out a little bit more. Like, and I was just like, oh my God, I need hand sanitizer. Like kind of
right.
Elongate it. You know?
A little bit more. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Milk. Okay. Let's see. I don't know. I miss like little things. Like I miss people talking to people. I miss compliments. You don't get a lot of compliments when you have a mask on. No one's like, hey, I love your bulging, terrified eyeballs. It's like, I love getting compliments. But you ever get a compliment and you try to like return the compliment back to the person, but they're giving you like fucking nothing to work with? Like one time this guy's like, you have nice eyes. I'm like, thanks. You have a nice day.
Are your eyes something you get a lot of attention for or something you're self-conscious about?
My eyes are probably one of the only things I get compliments on. I mean, like consistent compliments on.
So does this
and work? And they're kind of buggy.
Does this,
they're kind of buggy. For the podcast listeners.
Yeah.
Jimmy
maybe
has
I gotta find something else. Eyes.
Yeah.
And no eyebrows. So pick
does this work out for you, work out in your favor, or does this work against you, do you think, the wearing a mask?
Works in my favor.
Oh, wait, so you no, think you go that, up that a couple points when you throw the mask on.
Right, right.
Right.
It's funny you said that. I have the same thought, like, because I have really, so I'm just going to point out things that we're all self-conscious about on our faces.
As we look at our faces.
I basically have no lips. I have very thin lips. And I've noticed that when I wear the mask, you can't tell that. And I'm like, oh, I kind of look better looking with the mask.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I like covering this nose up, like, a lot. And so that makes me feel, like, a little bit more attractive. Even playing field.
I think I would look most attractive as like a Muslim woman.
You do have the eyes of a Muslim woman. That's so funny. You really do.
Okay. Would you ever hit on somebody wearing a mask with your confidence, with your sexy eyes?
I don't know. I wouldn't feel right. I can't talk to, like, that's legit. For some reason, I feel like the masks scare me still. I don't like seeing them.
On other people. You don't like seeing them on other people.
No. I'm glad people are wearing them, but it kind of freaks me out. So I'm like, and I'm usually a social guy, you know, I throw little zingers in the checkout line and now I'm just, you know, silent and scared. So that's more anxiety that I'm just bringing up. Okay. This one's stupid, but Trump, it's not giving the best response to this whole racial. He said, what did he say? If you start looting, we'll start shooting. Like, does he have to make his hate speech like rhyme? Like, he's like a racist Dr. Seuss. Joe Biden, though, has been pretty quiet, which is good for his chances. You know, people think he's creepy, but say what you want about his character. But I find him touching. I don't think that needs any notes.
No, two things. The Trump thing, he's like, if there's no, I haven't heard that. If you start leaving, start shooting. It's funny that his solution to like a crime is a more violent crime.
Right. It's like,
if you steal, we will murder you. With Joe Biden, I just wanted to just mention this. I saw a YouTube ad for Joe Biden today, and it literally started like this. He's like, "Hi, I'm Joe Biden." It was like he like stuttered for like the first 10 seconds, and I'm like, "Yeah, don't you have multiple takes? Was this like this was the best take?"
Yep, it most likely was.
Anyways, all right, keep going.
So okay, everything's online now. You know, everyone's adjusting. Like the Catholic Church, you can confess your sins on a website now. Like you enter it in, which I couldn't do. Like I can't confess my sins the same place where I jerk off. That's like reading the Bible through a glory hole.
That's funny. I thought of a tag too. It'd be like,
yeah.
If you type in like I molested a child, it's like. Father Sweeney? It has like an auto-generated response. It's like, you might
did
be
you mean Father Sweeney?
Did you mean to sign up as a priest?
It auto-redirects. Yeah, they're doing everything online. My friend had her gynecologist appointment in a Zoom conference. What a time to be a gynecologist. Imagine getting paid to look at pussy online. That's that one.
You could say, so I've decided that from now on, I'm Dr. Moynihan.
I found out it's very easy to make a diploma
yeah.
on the internet, something like that. So this is true. I quit weed.
Hold on. Go back to the last one.
Oh, sorry.
You're like, yeah. My friend saw a gynecologist online. I thought it was weird that she found him on Craigslist.
Not a lot of Yelp reviews. I like that a lot. All right. Let's see. Yeah, I had been like at 6 months without smoking, and I started smoking again during the quarantine. And I had to stop because it was making me really stupid, and I was getting nothing done. Like I smoked the other day, and I took my dog out for a walk, and like maybe 20 minutes later, I realized I left my dog in the house. I was just wandering around high as fuck, holding a leash attached to nothing.
Were you drinking before too?
Yes. Maybe.
So you quit weed. You were like, I can't deal with this, but the drinking you're fine with.
Right. So drinking, I can still get things done. that's my logic.
Yeah.
But with weed, it's very difficult to stay. I just go into like vegetation mode if I smoke. It's weird.
Right. Right.
So yeah, I don't know about that one. When I'm not sure, I talk in a really deep voice. I wouldn't tell that live, but okay. All right, this is a new one here. These are all new. I think I don't think people realize that a lot of historical figures were big weed smokers. Like Abraham Lincoln definitely smoked a lot of weed. Because you ever hear his quotes? Like one of his, this is a real quote, is he said, "No matter how much cats fight, there always seems to be plenty of kittens." And I'm like, there is no way he didn't say that in between a giant bong rip. He was definitely like, all I'm saying, man, is no matter how much cats fight, there always seems to be plenty of kittens. Someone write that down. All right, sorry.
Also, you'd have to be really high to think that Black people should be treated as citizens.
To get rid of free labor, you got to be.
I think the problem with that joke is that it's like you set it up too much. Like it was like you said something,
right.
You said the quote, and then you're like, I'm going to say the quote is high, and then you said the quote while high, and so there was nothing unexpected about it, you know.
Right. There was no misdirection or anything.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So definitely not. Don't repeat two quotes in one three-line joke.
I mean, you could just change it to the like. You know, he said the kittens thing, and then you're like, I mean, imagine how high you should be, and then when you smoke, say like, I think Black people should be free, just to have something that's not what people expect.
Exactly. That's a great joke. I like that a lot, actually. All right, cool. All right. I don't know. I miss being in love, you know? I miss that feeling. I like, though, I'm optimistic about finding love again. Like, because you can fall in love literally anywhere. Like, people fall in love in prison, which I don't think is a good idea because, you know how bad it would suck to break up with someone and still have to shower with them every day? So there's that one. Is there anything I could do?
It's pretty funny. I don't know. I was kind of setting out, but yeah, it's pretty funny.
Okay, cool. It was like, it didn't do well in my last Zoom open mic, so I figured I'd do it again.
Is that what this is now, an open mic? I guess it is.
No, I've been doing open mics. This is on a whole nother level, Rob.
Oh my god.
I mean, not a whole nother level. It's like it's like right there.
It's a recorded open mic.
It's like there's like a ramp to the other level, and it's like somewhere in between, right there.
Yeah, yeah. Couple feet up. All right. Okay.
All right. Last one, Jimmy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll start. I'll end it with a just a terrible one. My ex was more experienced than me sexually, which was very tough. I remember this was the like literally the first time we had sex. I remember whispering to her, "You're so tight," and she whispered back, "Everyone always tells me that." And I'm like, "Everyone always tells." So I whispered back, "I wish I was wearing a condom right now." All right, that's that one. Thank y'all.
I don't know if it's because of the Zoom aspect of this, but I could not tell what you were saying. What were you whispering?
Yeah. The first time I whispered, so she I whispered to her, "You're so tight," and she whispered back, "Everyone. I wish I would." Everyone always tells me that.
That's really funny. And it's then funny I whispered back, "I wish." If she's saying it a lot, then she's probably isn't that tight too.
Right.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah, I think it needs a little bit more added on. I don't know. I was thinking, I had another line that was, "Everyone always tells me that this is dirty talk. I don't want a Yelp review," or some shit like that. We need like one more person in here.
God, I'm sorry that we're not enough for you. We probably need a black person so that I stop making Abraham Lincoln jokes. But all right, I'm gonna go now. We're running out of time for this pod.
Sorry.
So I have a girlfriend living together now. I'm learning a lot about how women live. That's different than the bachelor lifestyle I was used to. When I'm a bachelor, I have one bowl. It's for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's not dirty because I just used it 6 hours ago. So it's sitting on the kitchen counter. It's ready to go. This woman uses a bowl for her condiments. It's like every possible. We use the dishwasher 10 times a day because of how many. Okay, I can tell this isn't funny. moving on quickly so we all forget that happened.
What happened?
Oh, another thing that I've noticed is like the insane amount of toilet paper that women use. To wipe after peeing, she folds toilet paper like 8 times. Like, do you guys use toilet paper for peeing? I just fucking shake it, put it back in, I'm good to go. It's,
because she's hoarding toilet paper in your own house.
Yeah. I'm like, we need to be conserving right now. These are COVID times. Yeah, but on a related note to just not wiping, one time she went to give me a blowjob after I had peed, and I guess there was still a little bit coming out. And I was like, she's like, "Did you just pee?"
Oh, God.
It's sterile.
Lucky girl. do you have good toilet paper, or do you have whatever they had left?
Oh, only the best.
These like now in these times?
Well, I had to go like a tier down, pun intended, because of the there was a shortage. But in normal times, I have only Charmin or whatever. People who don't spend on toilet paper drive me nuts.
Oh yeah. But what's happened was we were that, and then everybody hoarded toilet paper. So we finally found some, and I'm surprised it's considered apply, like one apply,
right?
And it doesn't even flush. There's like not enough material for it to flush. And it's funny because she's suffering. But when I was single, I'd be like, "This is the best deal. Why wouldn't I buy this? This is great. Who gives a shit?" I'll believe
it. At one point, I was so poor, I would literally steal toilet paper from public restaurants.
Oh, I did that. I used to do that shit all the time.
I think about now, I'm like, it's so insane. It's so cheap. Mm-hmm. But yeah, staying on the bathroom theme, when I go to a bathroom, I wash my hands before I pee at a public restroom, because my penis is the cleanest thing on my body.
Right.
You know? And so the idea that people wash their hands after peeing is so crazy to me. You're going to touch your dick with the hands you just used to touch the doorknob, and then you're going to go wash your hands. It's like, I feel like this like concept that you should wash your hands after peeing, it was propagated by the people who make cranberry juice, because what they want is for women to have UTIs. They want dirty dicks out there.
Dirty dick propaganda.
The people at Dole are telling you wash your hands after peeing. You should be washing your hands before peeing. No one's with me.
The people at Dole.
the monsters at Dole.
Yeah, I like that there's people at Dole.
corporations.
The masterminds at Dole.
So my girlfriend and I are in our 30s. When a woman's in her 30s and she's unmarried, she hears a theme song in her head, and it's the Jeopardy song, right? It's like do do do. When I'm in my 30s and not married, divorced, but we won't count that part, but when I'm in my 30s and not married, I have a theme song too, and it's no whammies, no whammies, no whammies. And the whammy is a wedding ring, obviously. So, or herpes, maybe. I don't know. Is that funny? Mm-hmm. Seems like potential.
Yeah, for sure.
When we have sex, speaking of UTIs, we try to avoid UTIs by having her pee after sex every time, right? And so in order to make that happen, she has to drink a lot of water before we have sex. So a lot of times when we're having sex, I hear the water sloshing around in her stomach.
It's like a waterbed.
It's like fucking a waterbed.
Does she take cranberry pills?
I don't know. She might. Is that what your wife does?
Yeah.
Yeah, does it help?
Yeah, because you don't have to chug a gallon of cranberry juice, and it's concentrate, and it does exactly that. So you don't have to sit there and hydrate like you're about to run a marathon.
What is the whole point of the whole cranberry thing? Is it just a diuretic?
Cranberry juice, I think it just helps. It's naturally helps flush out your urinary system.
Urethra, yeah.
It's rich in antioxidants.
It helps get all that gross comic wiener out of her urinary system.
Not easy to do.
It helps fight Rob, that.
Rob, does she drink it before you have sex?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was thinking that because you're so used to hearing the sound of the sloshing water in her stomach that it gets you hard because you know it's coming.
Like a Pavlovian response. That's pretty funny.
Exactly.
That's pretty funny. I'm a light sleeper. I feel like people hate light sleepers. I think people should pity me and empathize for me and the woes that I have waking up at every tiny noise that happens. So my girlfriend's not at all very, you know, very heavy, so falls asleep immediately. Every night, basically, we go to watch Netflix. She falls asleep almost immediately. And, I'm reacting to whatever we're watching. I'm like laughing if it's a comedy. And then she's not laughing. And at some point I look over and realize, okay, she's dead asleep. And so the next day we're like, oh, we try to start watching the same Netflix TV show. And she's like, oh, wait, go back. I don't remember this. And then we have to keep going back and going back. And I realize that she fell asleep an hour before I stopped watching. So if we sleep in the same bed every like time, she's like, like she makes like little like noises as she sleeps. I'm completely awake. And it's very frustrating. I slept in the same bed with my ex-wife for 6 years, And I think it's not until I was divorced that I realized that I was pretty much sleep deprived the entire marriage. It wasn't until I was a bachelor again, sleeping on my own, I'm like, oh, this is great. I sleep so well now. And then it's like, and so I think I was literally sleep deprived for 6 years, which probably explains at least part of the divorce.
Yeah.
I was incredibly irritable for fucking 6 years. I don't know. My girlfriend has like a mental Rolodex of every fight we've ever had. If she was to say like, name one example of that, I don't know. I can't think of it. If I'm like, she'll be like, you're immature. I'd be like, give me one example. She'd be like, June 4th, 8:40 p.m. she knows exactly what to use as an example every time we're having a fight. Yeah, something to that, I think.
She's almost a statistician on ESPN who throws up these fucking crazy stats on you.
Right. It's almost like she has a producer in her ear giving her information.
Yeah.
Oh wait, how about this? Like, have you ever said the thing in reverse? And has she ever been like, give me an example? And then you come up with an example. And then she goes, well, then give me another example. That's what she does. Ashley does that all the time because she does that same shit where she'll be like, and she'll do something. And then every once in a while, I'll corner her and I'll put the same maneuver. And then she'll be like, oh, well, that's, give me another one. I'm like, I did exactly what you said. I did exactly that. I accomplished something that's impossible for me and remembering something that you did, which is trivial at best.
Right.
Well, then give me another example of that bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny. Like that. All right, gang. Well, this is fun. Thanks for doing this.
Of course, Rob. Thanks for
coming on this yet untitled podcast.
Yet untitled podcast that helps.
Yeah, thank. Exactly.
Get unemployment. Helping...
Yeah. Hopefully, sleep better.
All right, I'll see you guys.
All right, later.
Yeah, take care, guys.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Thank You for Joking, a show about the process of being a comedy writer. Sometimes it's stand-up comics going through that process together, trying out jokes, giving each other notes, and sometimes I'm going to have TV writers on here talking about their process. So please subscribe. There'll be new episodes every week. Thanks.